How do you break a relational logjam? You may be in one right now. It's always the same way. Humility. You take the first move, and humility breaks the logjam. Let me tell you a sentence that'll break any relational logjam. I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. What did you say? Oh, don't ask me to say it again. What did you say? I said, I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself.
Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in a series called You Make Me Crazy. These teachings take a biblical look at topics like peace in our relationships, finding true love, breaking free from abuse, resolving conflict, ending the cycle of people-pleasing, and dealing with the crazy makers in our lives. Now, because we've all got at least one relationship that makes us crazy, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a must-have resource from Pastor Rick Warren called the You Make Me Crazy DVD series and study guide. If just surviving your relationships isn't good enough for you, then go ahead and take a sneak peek at this powerful video series while you're listening to today's broadcast. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Resolving Conflict.
The Bible says here on the screen, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. That means if I let God's spirit fill my life, I'm going to be filled not with fear and timidity, but I'm going to be filled with power and with love and with self-discipline. Now, that middle one, love, is the important one because love overcomes fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. When you're watching the nightly news and you see somebody run into a burning building, you go, how in the world do they have the courage to do that? And a few minutes later, they come running out with a baby or a little child or a pet. What caused them to overcome their fear of dying? The love for that person or pet. When your love is greater than your fear, you'll do things you're afraid to do. That's called courage. And when you are filled with God's love, the Bible says God is love. When you're filled with God's Spirit, and God's Spirit is love, when God's Spirit fills you and you're filled with love for that person who's irritating you or that person you're in conflict with, then you're going to have the courage to move ahead. So you need to pray, God, I'm scared to death. Fill me with your love. You already know who you need to deal with right now. I'm already talking about it, and you already know in your mind, I haven't reconciled with that person. I'm out of sorts with that person. I haven't dealt with this issue. You need to say, God, fill me with your love. Give me that courage that comes from love. You pray about it. What I'm saying is you talk to God before you talk to them. And you certainly talk to them before you talk to anybody else. You talk to anybody else about somebody you got a problem with, that's called gossip. Now, the first thing you have to do is deal with your fear, or you're never going to take the initiative. The second thing you're going to have to deal with is you're going to have to deal with the timing. Timing is everything in conflict resolution. You got to do it at the right time. Now, you say, okay, fine. When they're ready and they come to me, I'll deal with it. No, that's a cop-out. You take the initiative. Would you write this down? It's always my move. It's always my move in conflict management, conflict resolution. God expects you to take the first step. That's called being a peacemaker. Now, Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, he teaches this principle of take the initiative. It's the first key to conflict management. He says in Matthew 5:23, if you're standing before the altar in the temple. Now, what's he talking about here? You're at worship. It's what you're doing right now. In all of our campuses, it's what you're doing right now. If you're standing before the altar in the temple, okay, if you go to church to go to worship, and you're giving an offering to God, and you suddenly remember that somebody has something against you. Notice, it's not you got a problem, it's they got a problem with you. So either way, you take the initiative. You remember that somebody has something against you. You leave your offering there beside the altar. Go at once and first be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your gift to God. You know what he's saying here? God says reconciliation takes priority over worship. Wow. Some of you shouldn't be here. Reconciliation takes priority over worship. He says, you know, you like to worship, you like to come and sing, you like to hear God's word, you like to learn the principles of life, good. But he says there's something more important than that, reconciliation. And he says, if you come to worship and you got something out of whack with somebody else, you need to go get that right first and come back. He says, leave your gift at the altar, go at once, be reconciled, then come and offer your gift to God. Now, what is Jesus doing here? He's saying, don't ignore it. It doesn't matter if you're the offended or you're the offender. You need to take the initiative. It's always your move. When? At once. As soon as possible. You don't delay. You don't postpone. Some of you have been putting off this for weeks, months, or maybe years. Okay. You got to plan a sit-down meeting. Okay? This isn't taking the initiative. And let me give you some suggestions. Now, I didn't give you a lot of room on your outline, so just write these down. I'm going to give you four suggestions on how to set up a meeting with somebody you're in conflict with.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional. Take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Again, that's the word DAILY to 99000.
Okay, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or that crazy relative you see once a year at Thanksgiving. A crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why you need the Crazy Makers Study Kit. In this six-part DVD series and study guide, Pastor Rick Warren brings sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. In this powerful DVD series, Rick shows you how to be wise in relationships, how to recognize who's pushing your buttons, how to resolve conflict, how to break free from abuse, how to escape the people-pleaser trap, and how to keep the crazy makers from making you crazy. The Crazy Makers Study Kit is perfect for you, your family, or small group, so request yours today. It's our gift to say thank you for your donation to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to request your Crazy Makers Study Kit today. That's 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Rick.
Just write these down. I'm going to give you four suggestions on how to set up a meeting with somebody you're in conflict with. Okay? Here's what you do. Four things you do in setting up the meeting. Number one, I've already mentioned this, choose the right time. When is the best time to have a meeting to resolve a conflict? The best time is when you're both at your best. That's when you do it. When you're both at your best. You've been thinking about this. You're ready to talk about it. They may not be ready to talk about it. So you don't pull it on them. You don't drop a bomb on them. By the way, never drop a bomb in bed. Somebody ought to tweet that. Choose the right time when you're both at your best, okay? Number two, right place. You choose the right place. You don't just do it anywhere. You figure out where's a good place and a good time to do this, where we can be relaxed, where it's quiet, where we won't be bothered, where maybe the kids are asleep or they're away or whatever, where we can talk frankly and honestly, where there's an emotion can come out. You choose the right place where you can be interrupted. Number three, pray before meeting. Very important. And you say, God, I'm scared to do this, but I need to be filled with your love, and I need you to help me do this right. Now, if it's a deep problem, you may take more than one meeting, but you still pray before the meetings. And the fourth thing is come with a positive attitude. You want to come to work on the problem, not to attack each other. You're not coming to demean or demand or to disable. You're not coming to just disagree. You're coming to say, look, we're on the same team here. Let's try to make this thing work. And you work on the issue. You come with a positive attitude. Now, why do I do this? Why should I take the initiative? Well, let's just remember, Jesus commands it. I'm out of fellowship with God. My prayers aren't heard, and I'm not happy until I really deal with this issue. Now, before we go on to the other six steps, I want us to pause for just a minute and pray. So let's bow our heads, okay? And as we bow our heads, I want you to think of who you need to have this conversation with. You're out of harmony with them. There's something that you just haven't talked about it. You haven't brought it up. You haven't dealt with it. Maybe you both know about it. Maybe only you know it about it. But you think of who you need to resolve a conflict with. And then right now say, God, I'm scared to death. But I'm asking you to give me the courage to resolve this conflict. I don't need it in my life one second more. Father, I look out on all these people that I love so much, our church family, and I ask you to give them the courage and the strength to deal with these issues. I pray that they would live conflict-free lives as much as possible, as far as it depends on them, that they may experience your joy, your happiness, the answers to their prayers, and all that you have planned for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, step number two. Step number two, once you get together in the meeting with that person you've been in conflict with, here's the first thing you do. Number two is confess my part of the conflict. That's what I do first. That's the biblical thing to do. Now, they may be 99.9% wrong, and you're only 0.1% wrong, then you confess your 1% first. That's called humility. Now, my guess is that maybe more than that, but you start with you. You don't start with condemning. You don't start with accusing. You start with, instead of accusing and attacking and blaming, you begin with humility and you deal with your part. Everybody's got blind spots. Some of us have bald spots, but everybody's got blind spots. And Jesus deals with this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He says, why do you notice the little piece of dust, in other words, the splinter in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the big piece of wood, the telephone pole, in your own eye. First take the telephone pole, the log, out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter, the speck, the dust, out of your friend's eye. This is humility. It's starting with my part of the conflict. So what I do is I start with this. Am I being unrealistic? Okay, am I being unrealistic? And I ask myself this, okay? Am I being ungrateful in this relationship? Am I being insensitive? Am I being oversensitive? Am I being too demanding? Do you know what the number one excuse for divorce is today? I'm not saying the reason, the number one excuse that people file for divorce. They say, quote, we're just incompatible. Friends, incompatibility is a myth made up by divorce attorneys. There's no such thing as incompatibility. Any two people can get along if they'll grow up, if they'll stop being self-centered, if they'll stop saying, I'm going to be stubborn. I want my way, you want your way, and we're not going to grow up. Incompatibility is a myth. There are entire books written on the myth of incompatibility. Everybody is different. You're never going to marry somebody who's just like you, so you're incompatible with everybody. The issue is not incompatibility. The issue is immaturity. And we'd have a lot fewer divorces if people had to file, we're divorcing because we're both immature. And we refuse to grow up. And we're self-centered, and we will not give ourselves away. And neither one of us is willing to change. Or only one of us is willing to change. That's the real issue. Given the right situation, you can fall in love with anybody. It's true. I could put you in the right circumstances, given the right situation, you could fall in love with anybody, because love is a choice. You choose to love people and you choose to not love people. Love is a choice. You see, more relationships and more marriages and more friendships die from inflexibility than anything. It's I'm unwilling to move. I'm unwilling to make the first step. I'm unwilling to show a little humility. Sometimes you get in a relationship and you're just stuck. And when I mean stuck, I mean you can't get on with it, but you can't get out of it, and you just feel trapped. This could happen multiple times in a marriage. Seasons in your marriage where you say, I can't get on with it, but I can't get out of it. And I feel trapped. It's like a traffic jam. It's like a log jam. And all the logs are in the river and they've stopped up and they can't move forward because no one log knows which to move first. How do you break a relational log jam? You may be in one right now. It's always the same way. Humility. You take the first move, and humility breaks the logjam. Let me tell you a sentence that'll break any relational logjam. I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. What did you say? Oh, don't ask me to say it again. What did you say? I said, I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. You say that, it will break any relational logjam. I guarantee it. Before honor is humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Pastor Tom's going to come and teach the next two steps.
So here's the third thing you do when you're resolving a conflict. You listen for the hurt. You listen for the hurt. There's a phrase that Pastor Rick's taught us over the years that our kids actually have heard often enough that they use it as a cliche with us at appropriate times. It is the sentence, hurt people, hurt people. When I get hurt, when you get hurt, we hurt the people in our lives. If someone's hurting you, I will guarantee you it's because someone's hurt them. It may be you that's hurt them, it may be somebody else that's hurt them, but someone has hurt them, that's why they're hurting you. So you have to listen for the hurt in the midst of the conflict. And it doesn't matter if it's marriage or the marketplace or the Middle East, when people feel fearful or they feel robbed of their dignity, when they feel afraid, out of that fear comes hurt, and out of that hurt comes conflict. Now, how do you hear the hurt? How do you listen for the hurt? Well, a great verse is James 1:19. I love this verse. In fact, it's worth reading together. Would you read it with me? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. To listen for the hurt, you have to do what this verse says. You have to listen. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. You need to listen at least as much, twice as much as you are talking, so that you can hear the hurt that's in somebody else's life. That is the key to beginning to diffuse the conflict. That's the key to understanding where people are coming from, understanding their circumstances, understanding their background, understanding their perspective, understanding their temperament. You got to listen. Now, as you're listening for people's hurt, there are two areas you have to be especially considerate of. It's in the next verse in the outline. Romans 15:2 says, we must be considerate of the doubts and the fears of others. You might circle those two words, doubts and fears. I've got doubts and fears, you've got doubts and fears, and many times in a conflict, you've hit the nerve of somebody's doubt. You've hit the nerve of somebody's fear, and because of that, all of a sudden the conflict starts coming your way. So you want people to consider your doubts and fears, you have to consider their doubts and fears as you consider their hurt. You consider the hurt. Number four, you listen for the hurt. Number four, the fourth thing you do is you consider their perspective. The Bible says this in Philippians 2, 4, and 5. Here's how we see from another person's perspective. Each of you should look out not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. It's that old Chinese proverb, you seek first to understand before you seek to be understood. How do you do this? How do you consider another person's perspective? Well, there's an important word in that verse. Each of you should look not only for your own perspective, but the other person's. That word look is the Greek word skopos, like you scope something out, a microscope or a telescope. You scope out, you focus in on their perspective. You realize that you are most like Christ when you pay attention to other people's needs. Now, how do you do that? How do you really do that? How do you start noticing others' needs instead of always needing other people's notice? I don't know about you. I'm not that altruistic. I've got needs too. That's what I think. What about my needs in the middle of this? You might just jot down a Bible verse in the corner of your outline. Psalm 139, verse 3. Psalm 139, verse 3 says of God, God, you notice everything I do, and you know everywhere I go. The way you do this is you realize there's a God in heaven, there's a Father in heaven who is there to notice and to take care of every one of your needs. You're not in this alone. He takes care of my needs so I can help with your needs. If you are expecting some other human being, whether it's a wife or a husband or one of your kids or somebody at work, if you're expecting another human being to take care of all your needs, of course you're going to have conflict. They're as imperfect as you are. They can't do it. But when you recognize there is a God in heaven who is willing to meet the needs of your life, all of a sudden you have this new freedom. Because you know he's going to meet your needs, you have this new freedom to begin to look out and to consider the needs of other people in your life.
Now the fifth step is very important. Tell the truth tactfully. In this peace conference that you're having with this person that you're in conflict with, you tell the truth tactfully. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, speak the truth in love. It may be the truth, but if I'm not speaking it in love, I'm on the wrong side. You never use truth as a club. It may be true, but you don't use truth to beat people over the head. That's only allowed on the internet. People do that on the internet all the time. Beat people over the head with truth. Don't do that. You tell the truth tactfully. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says this, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, you can go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement. Okay, confession time. You probably have a relationship that could drive you crazy if you let it. Whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, sibling, parent, coworker, or that crazy relative you see once a year at Thanksgiving, a crazy maker can really make life difficult. That's why you need the Crazy Maker Study Kit. In this 6-part DVD series and study guide, Pastor Rick Warren brings sanity to your relationships so you can do more than just coexist and survive. You can thrive. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Do you have any crazy makers in your life? Of course you do. We all have relationships that just drive us crazy. Maybe a coworker, or a sibling, or a parent, or spouse, or that cranky next-door neighbor. These crazy makers can really make your life difficult, even if it's just a relative that you see only once or twice a year at holidays. You know, I created a kit called You Make Me Crazy Study Kit that's going to help bring sanity to your relationships. This kit is great for individual study. Even better, invite a few friends over and form a small group and do this study together. You'll make some new friends, and you know what? You'll have a lot of fun laughing about the things that make you crazy. I'd like to send you the You Make Me Crazy Study Kit as a thank you gift when you support Daily Hope with your financial gift this month. This 6-week study guide through God's Word will give you the guidance you need to face and even connect with the crazy makers in your life. Did you know that God has them there for a purpose? During this study, we're going to look at what the Bible says about being wise in your relationships, about resolving conflict, about breaking free from abuse and codependency, about escaping the people-pleaser trap, and about keeping crazy makers from making you crazy. I really appreciate your support for Daily Hope. It's only because of people like you and the financial gifts of listeners that we're able to reach so many people with the good news of God's Word.
Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to request your Crazy Makers Study Kit today. That's 800-600-5004 or just go to PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.